This is The Big Lead.
David Bowes in for Drory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM, and it's time for the 2 o'clock edition of The Big Lead. And that this time, it's a breaking one.
The Big Lead. Breaking news.
President Trump is holding a press conference as we speak, dealing with the allegations, the latest allegations against his nominee for the U.S. Supreme Court, Judge Brett Kavanaugh. This time, Trump is solo. He's doing this press conference in front of a, well, looks like an abundance of American flags, and he is letting it rip when it comes to the Democrats over what's happening to the accusations against Brett Kavanaugh. The latest accusation is a third woman coming forward with the attorney, lawyer Michael Avenatti. He's the creepy porn lawyer who represents Stormy Daniels, which is it's a sad state of American political affairs when the porn star actress becomes a household name. But the latest woman is Julie Swetnick, a resident of D.C., who says that that she attended parties back in the 80s. She witnessed Kavanaugh and his friend drug women, drink excessively, engage in abusive and, quote, abusive and physically aggressive behavior toward girls. Swetnick said she witnessed efforts by Kavanaugh and others to get girls inebriated so they could be gang raped in side rooms at house parties by a, quote, train, unquote, of numerous boys. Quote, I have a firm recollection of seeing boys lined up outside rooms at many of these parties waiting for their turn with a girl inside the room. These boys included Mark Judge and Brett Kavanaugh. Mark Judge is the friend of Kavanaugh, who an earlier accuser had said when he was present when she was assaulted 36 years ago. Judge has signed an affidavit saying that that is not true, that it did not happen. So this latest case is what Trump is talking about right now. Here's the thing. What's strange, what jumps out to me strange about this is, and I will say, first of all, I have had friends confide in me that traumatic things like rape or molestation have happened to them years previously where they didn't tell anybody and they didn't tell authorities. So I just want to state that right off the bat. However, in this case, this latest accusation, when the lady is saying that she was witnessed at parties, there's several parties being described here. It seems odd to me that you would go to a second or third party if you were witnessing gang rape at each party. I mean, that's number one. Number two is it's also strange when she says that she sees the judge and his friend at the party watching some of this going on, but she's not naming the people that were also at the party that she claims were doing the raping and pillaging there. So I would think that there would be some key specifics going on where...
Do you know for a fact, though, that she has not offered other specifics? And this is the problem that I have with that. I mean, you know, we're, again, putting so much of the burden on her, and I get it. You know, you should be, you know, considered innocent until proven guilty. But now we have a third woman, and you made a point of saying that Mark Judge spoke and, you know, under penalty of perjury. Well, she has done so as well.
She has.
So she's putting herself out there saying, I'm willing to go to prison if I'm lying.
It could be. And there was a case in Washington State in 2017 where a member of the military, I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he was being promoted to general at the time. There was a West Point cadet from the Everett area that they had attended school together. She made allegations against him. He won a multimillion dollar lawsuit against her later because she said that this did not happen, and the jury agreed. In this case, she's got this signed statement, which, to be fair, I've not had time to read the whole thing here. I'm just going by what the Associated Press and others are writing. But, you know, again, if the Kavanaugh is no stranger to D.C., he's risen through the ranks of judicial nominations process. The timing of these things has been to wait until things are just about to happen, and then a new allegation comes out that lacks any ability for someone to be able to prove that they're innocent.
Which is why shouldn't they allow the FBI to investigate? And all these women have said, we want the FBI to investigate. Why not? Why rush? Why rush to have?
But it's not a rush. Remember, Senator Dianne Feinstein sat on it for 2 months on the first one in order to wait because, I mean, I think they're waiting for the midterm elections. They're hoping that things go in their favor and they can stall this out.
But you know what would be great? If it turns out that these women are all lying, that'll work out well for the Republicans.
Do you think that it's like with 36 years in between the allegation, the first allegation, and I think Dr. Ford's allegation, and now,
which, by the way, she took a lie detector test and it said that there was no evidence of her
side
falsifying.
Her side releases a lie detector test. Lie detector tests are. Have to be careful.
They're good when
you have to be careful with how you use them.
I was going to say, they're good when you like the result, and they're not good when you don't like it.
No, I mean, it's possible that you can not be you cannot be deceptive, but also be wrong.
And I've heard that argument, but I think the argument would be different if the result came out differently.
It very well could be. Yeah. I'm saying that when one side releases a lie detector test, the other side's going to say, well, wait a second, I want my person to deliver the lie detector test or whatever the case is. But you have a case where it would be exceedingly difficult for someone to prove the negative. So my guess is that there is no way to prove the negative. Now, on the gang rape story, she's describing multiple parties and multiple girls involved and multiple men involved. I would think that this is one that can be proven true or false at some point, and there will be repercussions. Trump, however, is not holding back right now.
This is a big con job, and I would love to be in the room with the Democrats, close the door, you guys are all away outside waiting, and Schumer and his buddies are all in there laughing how they fooled you all. Let's just stop them. A big fat con. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. He says con kind of like China there. It's not very many people say con job that way. Did you note that? Is that weird to anyone else? I mean,
no.
I know it's a different topic. But...
this is a big con job.
Con job. Con job. Nobody says that.
It's right. Never surprising.
Sorry,
anymore.
I get distracted sometimes when Trump's saying something. All right. Then he says Democrats are enjoying the whole thing.
So I think when you really look at it all, it's not going to change any of the Democrats' minds. They're obstructionists. They're actually con artists because they know how quality this man is, and they've destroyed a man's reputation, and they want to destroy it even more. And I think people are going to see that in the midterms, what they've done to this family, what they've done to these children, these beautiful children of his, and what they've done to his wife. And they know it's a big, fat con job. And they go into a room, and I guarantee you, they laugh like hell at what they pulled off on you and on the public. They laugh like hell. So it wouldn't have mattered if the FBI came back with the cleanest score, and you understand that very well, John. If they would have come back with the most perfect, we found everything, and he's perfectly innocent of everything, it wouldn't have made a difference. You wouldn't have gotten one vote. Now, we will get votes from the Democrats if we win.
It'll be interesting to...
So he makes the point. So why not allow the FBI to look? We are talking about someone who is going to be sitting on the Supreme Court. For Kavanaugh's sake and for his family's sake, why not allow the FBI to investigate these allegations?
It's my understanding that the FBI has done the background check on this guy a number of times already.
But not with these specific things. And then the other thing you were bringing up about...
An interesting column. Let me just address that real quick. There's an interesting column by a couple of the court watchers on National Review online, and they were pointing out that again, the kind of allegation here without the greater details to check... I mean, right now we only have... The initial account from Dr. Ford was on the notes, I think, from her therapist, it was four people. Then there was two people in the room. The two people that were in the room, Kavanaugh and the other guy that she claims, both say it didn't happen. She doesn't know further details about the timing of the place, the location of the party, the year that it took place. She thought originally she said she was in her later teens, and then I think she said might have been 15. So the lack of specificity means it's going to be exceptionally difficult for the FBI to investigate anything because you need details.
Yeah. But I think we also should reserve judgment, too, until, you know, Christine Blasey Ford and whoever else is coming forward can tell their story fully. The other thing I was going to say, and I've never shared this. Actually, I only shared it with my family just recently. Mm-hmm. And it's something that happened when I was 11 or 12. There was no one else there to witness it, mm-hmm. but I was taking horseback riding lessons at a place in the Philippines a club we belonged to. And the guy who was in charge of, I was very fearful of horses, and the guy who was in charge of assigning horses to us for our riding lessons, would put his arms around me and, you know, kind of show me the paper where he was putting down the names of the horses. And while he was doing that, he would actually be, you know, fondling me.
Right.
It's hard to even talk about this, but, you know, I wasn't, you know, aware, you know, I just thought, well, this is weird because this is the guy who's in charge of, you know, he's an adult.
You're young. You don't understand. You don't really understand what's going on.
But yeah. I'm 11 or 12. I can't tell you exactly what year it was. I can tell you what he smelled like. I can tell you what his fingernails looked like. I can tell you he had a glass eye, but I couldn't tell you all the details. Does that mean it didn't happen?
No, it doesn't mean it didn't happen. I think in this case there's a much larger political baggage story that's going on that's surrounded this,
which muddies it up,
right? And there's a number of other timing details that have been logged about this particular thing, and it makes me sad because stories like yours are not uncommon.
Woman I know can tell you a story.
Not every woman I know has shared those stories, but I've had a few women share those kinds of stories with me. So I know it's common enough that it does happen. This one, however, is stuck in the midst of a enormous political struggle, and the timing, the nature, and some of the players involved inevitably make it a political situation, and it's the kind of thing where for Miss Ford, she thought of this. Her therapy notes were several years ago. She knew about Kavanaugh before, and there's a timing issue with the senators and when they've chosen to release this kind of thing and what they're demanding for action, and then they delay certain action, then they make promises and delay again. It smacks of a political opportunism, not a serious investigation. In fact,
but I have one question to ask, though. I mean, I really and
well,
I was
let me
trying
finish
to,
this
okay,
real
go ahead,
quick.
Sorry.
And of course, but I wanted to say there was Senator Murkowski of Alaska said that allegations need to be taken seriously.
Sure,
and I agree that allegations do need to be taken seriously. You need to take a look at them the best you can with the details that you have. But I thought that the way that this has been treated from the moment Feinstein got the material has not been to take it seriously, but has been to utilize as a timing weapon. And I think that that's a big problem, and it's disrespectful to people who have suffered trauma like you did as a little girl, or others who have suffered it as adults or older, anybody who suffered that kind of trauma and kept quiet.
And I agree. Yeah. It should have come out much sooner, for sure, because maybe we wouldn't even be in that position. But given that it has, my other question that I want to ask is, what do these women have to gain? What does, you know, Dr. Ford?
I'm in a no-win situation there, because I think there are things that you can gain. I mean, if you're a political activist and you can destroy someone, sometimes that's what you gain. Or let's say you have a recovered memory that is not accurate, and you think that it is. You know, there have been false identifications,
sure,
innocence projects that have released people from prison after false IDs, where people didn't mean to identify somebody, or you know, that false, but they've did it anyway. So there are all kinds of reasons why people can do things and have done things, crazy reasons that don't really apply to you or I, but.
But when I
they
look
do apply
at,
to others.
But I do look at when I see that you're putting your family out there, now you're getting death threats. I mean, there's a lot to lose.
There's a lot to lose, and there's a lot to lose on every side. But I would say that if you force me to, I could put together a long list of why one might do it.
I won't force you to.
It's sad to say. I don't like saying it, but it's possible. All right, so Donald Trump, who's given the press conference now, also is asking about the timing.
Everybody wants to be a federal judge, not just a Supreme Court judge. I'm talking about Court of Appeals. I'm talking about district court. I don't think they're going to want to so much. I'll be calling people, and we'll have people calling people that do this. And people are going to be scared, because we could say it about you. 35 years ago, you met, and you might not know what's going on. What is going on? Why did they wait so long? Why did Senator Feinstein wait till the hearings were over and make this case? Why didn't she bring it right at the beginning when you ask about, as an example, the FBI? Why didn't they bring this right at the beginning, during the hearing? You would have had all the time in the world for the FBI. It would have been fine. Now, the FBI, as you know, did investigate this time, as they have five or six other times.
So you can hear Trump making the same kind of question. My guess is Trump is not the guy that you really want speaking on this issue. Trump has baggage. There was a recent comparison point to his popularity ratings and the Democrat popularity ratings. And it was interesting because there was an inverse relationship. When Trump dominates the news, his approval rating goes down. When the Democrats dominate the news, their approval rating goes down. So, you know, there's a big reason why in the election, Democrats want to make it about Trump. Trump wants to make it about the Democrats because voters are upset with both. And that becomes a challenge. But, you know, I think that that Trump's background doesn't help his he's not the right guy for this job right now. That said, that doesn't mean he's not bringing up some legitimate issues. And I'd also like to say Ursula stepped out, which I was hoping to say this while she was in the studio here. But I want to say that I thought it was particularly brave for her to speak out. She said she hadn't shared that information with her friend, with anybody but a couple of close friends and family members. And I know that that can be exceptionally difficult for people. And I've urged my friends and others that have come forward to me to share the information that they have about experiencing a trauma of that kind, sexual trauma, because no guy should ever get away with such a thing. And I think, you know, oftentimes, you know, there's a desire to move. I don't want to say get past, because I think there's a lot of loss and pain in life you never get past. What happens is you learn how to carry it better. So, you know, you learn how to carry it better. And then if you set it down and show it to people, it's harder to pick back up. So I understand that. And I think that that's part of the challenge. But I think coming forward and making sure that people pay on that personal level is a key thing. I don't think that this particular onslaught on Kavanaugh really makes sense in that way. And I don't think that it applies to these other situations because of the political grandstanding and circus that's surrounding it. David Bowes in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. David Bowes in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. Trump's news conference is still going on, and as you could hear, it's a fairly animated conference. Trump versus the media again is just where he likes to be. Of course, we'll continue to follow that story and the big hearings tomorrow here on 97.3 Cairo FM. But right now it's time for us to get to some awesome audio.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
So awesome audio number one deals with the city of Seattle has a big homeless problem. I know that comes as a shock to you because when you're driving along, you think that medians are supposed to be filled with tarps and garbage, but that's actually not the way it's supposed to be. In fact, just a short decade ago, that wasn't the way it was when you would drive into Seattle. It used to look sparkling clean and was the Emerald City for a reason. But now you just see it, you can always see where there's an encampment because there's a long pile of garbage. But for business owners in the SoTo District, there's other things to pick up as well, not just garbage, not just human waste, but also mountains of other kinds of waste.
Number two.
And you have to get them cleaned up by the time your store opens. You just have to sweep them up into a garbage can and get rid of them. And that's all you can do about it. Because you can't have people walking through a minefield of needles. It's dangerous.
Should it be an obligation of the business to pick up needles?
Absolutely not. It's an obligation of the city if they can't get the people who are using the needles to dispose of them properly.
That's Como News interviewing Nathan McLaughlin, who's an owner of the SoTo Grocery Outlet. When you're describing mountains of needles in your parking lot, it should give you an idea of the scope of the problem. It's not that a needle was found. It's that there is a mountain of needles to be found in the parking lot. And he's saying, while Seattle's going around trying to teach people how to pick up needles carefully and responsibly, he's saying that's not really my job. My job is I'm trying to sell groceries, and the city's being overrun with criminality. And we need to get a better handle on that. And if you look at when I say overrun, I'm not even I'm not using hyperbole. I think that there are areas of the city that are literally overrun. You've got sidewalks that are occupied, public spaces that are occupied with people that are engaged in obviously illegal behavior. And for some reason, too many people in the city and too many power brokers in the city believe that it's not their job to clean that up or make it difficult or impossible for others to do so. And I don't know if that's guilt. I don't know if they think that they're responsible somehow or it's a societal problem rather than an individual problem. But the end result is society becoming less civil, the people that are addicted becoming more ingrained in that addiction, more likely to engage in criminal activity, more estranged from their own souls and their own families. And that becomes a big, big problem. Now for awesome audio number one.
Right.
Coming
yeah.
up. Yes.
I know. It's a hard segment.
The transition segment.
Transition. Yeah. I know.
I feel like there's...
You're doing pretty well.
There used to be this kind of alert thing for awesome audio number one. Like you'd switch the story and it would change, right?
No.
A couple years ago?
Fast as 15. There's a slight difference in the bed.
Well, in this case, it does matter because I really enjoy awesome... I've enjoyed this story. I've been waiting to share it the whole time just because I'm so sick of people apologizing for everything. Everybody says everybody needs to apologize for everything. And I feel like society would be better off if once in a while when people are told that they have to apologize, they would just say, no, I'm not going to apologize. I had a good time. Or, hey, you know what? I'll apologize if I to an individual that I harmed, but I'm not going to apologize to you, Twitter universe, because you had nothing to do with it. There's the president of the University of Southeast Missouri State. University President Dr. Carlos Vargas was at a tailgating party. Now, I know this comes as a shock. At a tailgating party, there was beer. And not just a beer, but there was a beer bong. And so he decided to party it up with the kids and had, well, I say kids, but we're talking about college. We're talking about young adults. They're all adults here, right? So Vargas.
And let's just say he is well-liked, which I imagine probably
of
is.
Of course, because he showed up with the students. I'm using kids as in people under 30 now that I'm an old coot. But yes, he's hanging out with the kids. They're having a tailgating party. There's a beer bong there. Beer is, by the way, a legal substance that the university is, I'm sure, making a ton of money off selling. So what's the harm in that?
And he is of age.
He is of age. They're of age. They're having the beer pong. And then, of course, all hell breaks loose, which brings us to awesome audio number one.
Number one.
For Dr. Vargas.
University President Carlos Vargas joined Southeast Missouri State students who were tailgating before a recent football game at Carbondale. For a couple of seconds, drank from a beer bong.
I think the student body's proud of him.
President Vargas issued an apology stating, I made a poor decision, and for my action, I apologize to the students, faculty, staff, alumni, and friends of Southeast Missouri State University, an institution of which I am tremendously proud.
Did you leave anybody out there? Was there anybody? I want to know, really, of all the university alumni, the friends, the relative of friends, the pets of the relatives of friends, and the neighbors of the relatives, of the friends of the pets, how many people were actually offended by
this
guy?
I'm not sure what he's apologizing for. For drinking beer? For drinking beer with
the bong there?
I guess.
Drinking beer in a creative way? See, if you drink a beer out of a giant mug, that's okay.
That's all right.
Drink a beer out of a giant can, also okay.
Mm-hmm.
Drink a beer many times out of a small glass, also okay.
Chugging it in a tube,
not so okay. The argument here is that, well, this is encouraging binge drinking, and some of these kids could be influenced by that. That might be true.
They're already influenced.
But it's tailgating. People do drink to excess to a certain degree. He drank for 2 seconds. He didn't say – he wasn't, you know, Will Ferrell in Old School. You know, it's time to go streaking through the quad. He had 2 seconds worth and said, hey, that was fun, by the way, is showing a bit of moderation when it comes to a beer pong. So if anything, I think they should be applauding him because he's shown that you can responsibly drink with a beer bong. So, you know, there's that.
The president's apology stated beer bongs are associated with excessive and binge drinking, behavior he does not condone.
Kind of shocked me. I was a little speechless.
I was a little shocked at first, but I feel like he's an adult, so he can do whatever he wants.
Students say Vargas has a history of connecting with students on a personal level. And he's very popular on campus.
I actually love that about him. He seems like he's very interactive with the students, whether it's having fun with the students or educationally. I think he's a great president.
He's doing a great job in connecting because the whole student body loves him. So I think it's just positive.
hard not to love the university president who's willing to have the beer through the tube, so to speak.
Mm. Anyway, yeah. Well done with Awesome Audio the other day, which is also brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash.
Brown Bear Car Wash. That's where I go to get my car cleaned.
That was so cheesy. It's true.
By the way, I love those Grizzly. Whoever's running that show, kudos on those Grizzly statues. Those are awesome.
They are cool.
I wish they would put Brown Bear Car Wash in charge of Seattle art. Because, you know, you're driving along, or even Washington State Art, you're driving along, we have these art programs where you have to spend a certain amount of money on construction, on art, and then you drive along and you go, that's what you spent it on? You know, some strange industrial, it looks like, you know, somebody went to a junkyard, threw a bunch of stuff together, and then put it up on a pillar, that's what it is? Versus Brown Bear Car Wash, you go and say, now that's an awesome Grizzly.
I'm surprised nobody's been impaled by those Grizzly claws. Those are sharp.
They are sharp-looking claws, and they're awesome.
Gotten close enough to see them?
Yes.
I have too. I've reached up there trying to touch those claws.
Yeah, I'm waiting for some hobo to like get those off of there and use them as a weapon.
Yeah, you could put that, like, you'd be like Iron Bear Arm.
Don't give anybody ideas.
If it's hollow, you know, you could put it on your arm and,
yeah,
you know, fight like Wolverine.
There you go. Brown Bear Car Wash.
It's awesome stuff. Thanks for sponsoring today, Brown Bear Car Wash. David Bowes in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. You know, it's a strange world we live in right now, because a lot of people, they're highly stressed out. People on the left, you know, they've got their hashtag resist movement going on. They think it's the end of the world. They're pointing to the White House as though they're doing battle with dictators of times past. And they've kind of created this world like that Amazon story, Man in the High Castle, you know, where they're living in this alternate universe and they don't know what to do and they're freaking out and they think everything's justified and they're chasing people from restaurants like Ted Cruz in Washington, D.C. and everything's justified and okay because they're fighting against a serious evil that's basically threatening their way of life. And then you look on the right, you know, those who like Trump, and they're looking at an increasing number of socialists like Shama Sawant, you know, that are kind of taking over the nation, that are trying to leave them defenseless in an onslaught of a world that's not friendly to independence, to individual rights, to any of those things. So everything looks like it's the worst ever. You know, everything looks like. And then we get our news, you know, and there's a volcano under Yellowstone, and it could take off. There's earthquakes that we're susceptible to here in the Pacific Northwest. So whether it's whatever you're seeing in the news, political or otherwise, it all feels like we're living in the times of the apocalypse. And that leads us to
today's sign that the end is near.
It's unavoidable. There's always a sign. And sometimes, you know, you have to look hard into the tea leaves to realize that your time is running out, that your numbered days are not so long after all. Now, this time.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a pretty dark subject.
That's
the end
a
pretty of
the world. Dark intro.
I'm moving it there. So, I mean, listen to this guy. The sign at the end is near. That's pretty serious stuff. In this case, you know, sometimes the signs are hard for people to see, because if they were easy, everybody would do it. But in this case, it's a brand that you rely on, a brand that has enriched a number of middle-aged actresses and rejuvenated their careers, at least when it comes to payouts and dollar amounts. And that would, of course, be the institution of Weight Watchers.
Hey, that's like Oprah.
Oprah 101. Gosh, right
I'm
there.
I'm trying to think of back a couple. I know there's more celebrities.
Well, there's that
Sarah Duchess of York.
There's that lady that starred in the Dukes of Hazzard remake. You know, the what was it, the blonde lady?
Jessica Simpson.
Jessica Simpson.
She
thank you.
Weight Watchers.
Yeah, she was Weight Watchers for a while, wasn't she?
No.
Well, I'm giving her credit for it either way. So a number of people have made some serious coin. Many people have been helped by the organization, of course. But the sign that the end is near is that they're dropping the weight from Weight Watchers. Not just dropping weight, but dropping the word weight. Why? Because it's such a downer. Apparently, weight is one of those words that people don't like to hear. It's kind of a shaming kind of word. But now it's just going to be
Kirstie Alley. That was another one.
That's it. Kirstie Alley. I was thinking about her, too. Yeah.
Kirstie,
right. Yeah. Lady from Cheers.
Valerie Burton.
Kirstie Alley.
Whatever
good,
her
good
name
call
is.
For her, too. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
But she's kind of pooping on the whole, you know, end of the world point.
Marie Osmond.
Gosh, you know.
Queen Latifah.
Yeah. Marie always looked good. I mean, let's just.
Oh, you were right about Jessica.
Thank you.
Well done.
I was mocked, but I know my Weight Watchers spokespeople. So they're dropping weight because it's a triggering kind of thing. It's hurting people's feelings, they think, and they're gonna go for a brand renewal with WW.
Which is not a very catchy brand name.
It's already owned. WW is already owned. It's called Wonder Woman, frankly.
Nobody calls Wonder Woman WW.
That's her symbol on it. It's like the S for Superman. WW. Well, nobody says
and
that.
It's annoying to say as well. WW.
Totally. No,
nobody says www.whatever anymore.
No.
It's just annoying.
Whatever.com.
It's like,
true.
I'm always thinking, whenever somebody says www. I think of Bob Dole in the debate back in whatever year, 92, you know, or whatever year that was, 96. www.bobdole.com. makes no sense at all, but it's very...
I don't remember that.
All right, well, look it up. It's funny. Saturday Night Live did a great job with it. Anyway, so Weight Watchers is just going to WW. It's yet another sign that the end is near because their whole thing is to watch your weight. Their whole thing is to drop weight. And then if you're going to get rid of the word weight because it hurts people's feelings, you know, what are you supposed to say? It's like, well,
pounds.
You know, how are you supposed to advertise your product, you know? It's well, what are you watching here? What do you want us to drop? Well, we want you to drop that stuff that you don't want.
Well, no, they want you to think of wellness when you think of W.
Right. Let's drop the wellness. Wait, what? No, we're not dropping wellness. We're supposed to be well there. Anyway, they think that they'll be able to expand some products, you know, to sell. I guess maybe that'll work.
They could just call themselves Watchers. But then that kind of seems ominous, I guess.
Yeah, totally. Sounds like Stalkers 101. They're going to get a bunch of really creepy guys, you know, yeah. Flying. It's like, yeah, I want to learn how to watch. I want to watch people here, you know, and comic book fans going for the Marvel Watchers, which.
The Watchmen series?
No, that was DC, I thought. The Watchers were, you know, these kind of super powerful cosmic beings that would just observe the planet.
Ah.
Yeah. So that's geek stuff that now you know about me. All right. So. That's sign number one. Sign number two comes from a North Dakota man. This is still dealing with food.
I think we should jump to the other one. Let's save North Dakota man for tomorrow. So we're almost done here, and we have something else to get to.
Jeez, I just started this one. I'll finish it really quickly.
North
Dakota man, he's making food.
We could have had a whole conversation about this.
We can again tomorrow in a different hour. He's making food. He's making sausage. Gets his hand caught in it, and he decides to lose weight faster by chopping off his hand. Now, I don't know what I would die. Yeah,
I don't think I'd be able to do it. So he was trying to stop the bleeding.
Yeah,
because the only thing left was tissue attached
and so muscle he was able and to, nerves.
Yes.
Yeah, and so
he was able to chop it off and not die.
But
I think I would have died.
He was making sausage, and when they say that you don't want to see sausage made, I didn't know it was that literal. But apparently, we really do not want to watch sausage be made.
Nope.
And finally, Dunkin' Donuts, the final sign that the end is near. Dunkin' Donuts is dropping the donuts from its logo. Do we have a song to lead us out from this?
Of course, Sean does.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. What's Dunkin'? That's the dumbest change.
They like donuts, but they don't want to be known for just donuts. They want to sell coffee and other things, so they
want
to broaden that menu.
Healthy. They've always sold other things.
I know. Well, donuts, apparently, they tell people it's not healthy.
Yeah.
It makes them think that they're going to have to lose weight, so they're dropping it. They're just going to Dunkin', which also sounds weird. You know what I mean? What are you dunking there? Sounds like a basketball shop.
True. Well done.
Go home! 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 Go home!
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.